Do you want me to sit in a corner and rust, or just fall apart where I'm standing?
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the only station at the end of the universe. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark, and it's also the only station brave enough to broadcast this show at the moment.
Yeah, that, keep mentioning that, Dad, and I'm sure they'll come up with a reason not to broadcast this. My name is Lee Stark, and if you...
You just said that.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Can't you think of anything that you haven't said yet?
My name isn't Lee Stark.
That would work.
Except it's a lie.
You can't tell. You can't tell lies on the radio.
Yes, you can.
Can you?
Yeah, there are plenty of people who lie about things on the radio all the time.
That's
talkback.
That's right.
That's what talkback is for.
Yes.
But this is not a talkback show. This is a gadget and technology and stuff show. A stuff show.
It is indeed.
Yes.
What's been happening this week? Anything exciting been happening for you?
I'm sure there has.
You just
can't remember anything that happened this week. But look, this week is going to be filled with lots of stuff. Like, I think there might be the launch of Windows 7 phones.
You think?
I'm pretty sure. Relatively sure there will be.
Is that something to do with the invitation to the launch event that you got?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a new BlackBerry platform. So this week we'll see the cementing of more competition for Android and iPhone.
Okay, yeah,
so if any of those have any real shot, we'll tell you next week. But first, this week, we have other stuff. For instance, you're talking about flight.
I am talking about a flight simulator ride that's in Sydney.
It's not really a ride. It's a simulator.
It's a simulator, and I'll tell you about it shortly.
You'll tell us about that, and what else have we got?
You were going to do a road test of a camera.
I was. I have a camera over here. It's a 60D. It's a Canon.
Canon 60D. So you're going to explode all the myths about the 60D. You're going to...
What myths are they?
I have no idea. I just thought I'd...
You just thought up myths?
I just thought I'd say that.
We've also got some news, and it's 42.
Lots of news. Today is 42.
Today
is a binary day.
Are you telling me today is the 42nd day of the year?
No, it is the 42 day.
What's the 42 day mean?
In binary, today's date is the 10th of the 10th of the 10th.
So 101010 means 42.
In binary, it translates back to 42.
What sort of geek comes up with this crap?
Oh, some of the stuff that I've been seeing about 10-10-10 has been incredible. Some people, of course, have decided they're going to wait until November next year when we'll have the 11th of the 11th of the 11th.
So what does 111111 mean in binary?
I'd have to work that one out. Probably 43.
Okay, excellent.
It wouldn't be. So
today is the answer to the question of life, the universe, and everything.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly, and I actually saw something on Gizmodo where they're quoting allegedly Douglas Adams, who said that he just basically grabbed the number out of the air.
Yeah, he did. That was the actual reason. I mean, we all come up with reasons to say that, it follows us around. I say we all, and that it's me. I come up with reasons to say it follows me around everywhere, but in truth, Douglas Adams just said, 42.
But in all honesty, you do see it turn up in a lot of places.
It's almost like it's some sort of send-off to Douglas Adams.
In a lot of cases, it is. There's a lot of places where it turns up as a result of its inclusion in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy stories. However, there's also references to it in stuff earlier than that. I can remember seeing a movie that was made in the 1940s.
It could just be coincidental.
Yeah, and the door number of an apartment was 42.
That could have been coincidental, though.
Oh, I'm sure it was coincidental, but the fact remains that, yes, it happened.
Mm.
So,
in any case, we got that. We've also got an ad. It's not really an anniversary. It's commemoration, isn't it?
Birthday.
Is it birthday? It wasn't when he was shot.
This was when he was born. If he was still with us today,
we're talking about John Lennon, of course.
Yes, if Mr. Lennon was still with us today, he would have turned 70 yesterday.
So I have.
In actual fact, it would still be. Would it still be his birthday? No, it wouldn't.
Not anymore. No. So I have programmed three Lennon songs, or Lennon-y songs, two Beatles and one Beatle jazz for the show.
Okay.
Well, of two newish songs. I figured I'm getting sick and tired of doing the theme sort of thing. It's very hard to do the theme sort of thing every single week.
Is it?
This isn't that Sunday Night Jazz program I did a couple of years for you.
Are you saying that I've got to stop feeding you important information?
Well... It's important. You don't have to stop feeding me. It's just...
Yeah, it's up to you as to what you put in, because you're the one who chooses the music.
I know.
And you do a very good job of it, I might add.
It's important that I talk about Lennon. I couldn't...
Well, one of the most important songwriters of our time, I believe. I think it's important, you know, sort of, even if you only just remember him with one song, that would be adequate, as long as we do note that it was the birthday of a man who is, as I say, one of the great songwriters of our time.
He definitely changed the world.
Absolutely.
And this is the Beatles with In My Life. It's the Gadget Grill, brought to you by many things, but most of all, words. I've said this before, but seriously, without words, we wouldn't really have a show. We'd be very, very silent. And you know.
Yes. Yes, we would.
If you'd like to listen to more words, you can head to www.radio2rdj.com, where you can listen to this show, as well as many other shows that use words. If you are, however, blind, you can't... Actually, no, you can still listen to words. If you're deaf... This show does not broadcast in feeling yet, although, to be honest...
We do broadcast with feeling.
We do, and half the time it kind of feels like I'm being punched by my dad with how bad and blunt his jokes are. So, that's a sort of feeling, I guess. News?
Okay.
News before I get myself thrown off the air again?
Yes.
Before or something?
No, I think it's a bit too late for the... Well...
I hope not.
Well. Let's go with Internet Explorer.
Internet Explorer, that's that Microsoft product.
People
use that?
As a matter of fact, they do, but less and less of them are.
Mm.
It's now being used for less than 50% of all web traffic.
Wow. Firefox and Chrome have really made a dent.
Firefox 30%, mm-hmm. which is round about where it was.
Yep.
Google's Chrome has tripled its share to about 11.5%.
I'm using it right now.
There you go. You're one of those extra people.
Woohoo! I'm an extra person! Yeah!
Yeah. And I guess a lot of the other erosion that's not mentioned in the survey that I looked at is with devices like the iPhone, iPad, Android devices, etc., which, of course, are becoming more and more popular and more pervasive.
Now, you know how... Are you done with that story?
Yes, I am.
I can segue into something else?
You certainly
can. It's not really a segue. You know how we're told often that 3D TV is here and it's big and it's important and we have to really pay attention to it? You know how we're told that those glasses are different from each company to company?
Yes.
Well, Toshiba have actually started producing in Japan 3D TVs that don't require the glasses.
Okay, so... That's with a lenticular lens?
No, basically, it's lenticular. So if you've ever seen those posters where you walk by them and they change perspective, same sort of technology except with a TV. There's a catch, though. There's always a catch. I think the biggest size you can get right now is 20 inches. That's 2.0, just for people. It's 20. That's very small.
Yes.
That's incredibly small.
You're saying size does matter.
It does, and this will cost about $3,000 US.
Okay. That's not cheap for a 20-inch.
No.
In England, a lot of castles in the States, you may remember when we went to Scotland, we went through a maze.
Yes, we went through lots of mazes.
Yes.
The maze that is my mind.
Yes, as well as that, but they have mazes made out of hedges that you wander through
and get lost in.
Yes, they do. Well, what the operators of these mazes have noticed is that there's been a reduction in the time taken by people going through the mazes.
Okay.
People are getting quicker at doing the mazes.
Is it because of GPS?
It is exactly because of GPS.
What cheap? Put down your phone and do the maze for real. You get stuck in there like the rest of us.
Those people are just totally missing the point.
So I'm supposed to enter the maze here and work out the quickest way by using Google.
They think they're being smart. I think they're being stupid.
I think they're losing something.
Exactly.
That seems less fun.
I know.
You hear about Singapore Airlines? Or have you got that? You've got that, haven't you?
I've got... Do I have that?
You're singing Brown Island in there?
Do I?
I've got it here.
Yes, I do.
Okay, you can do it.
Okay, because Singapore Airlines have proposed that they're going to have availability across the fleet of their Airbus A380s, the 340s, the Boeing 777s. They're going to have in-flight Wi-Fi, internet.
Not the 747s, though.
747s already have some.
Well, yeah, some of them do. But they don't have the 3G part
of this.
Not
the 3G, no. No, but they're going to have in-flight Wi-Fi, internet, and mobile telephony, and it's going to be rolled out from the start of next year.
So you know all that crap we're told when you get an airline, please turn off your phone, your laptop, anything.
Well, now they're going to tell you to do that. And then they're going to tell you you can turn it back on. Well, A, you can turn it back on, and B, you can pay us for the privilege of doing it.
Hey, but at least we know all that stuff about turning it off and flight is crap. We always have.
Yeah.
But now we really know it's crap.
That's right.
Or just, you know, still do it. Do what they ask you to. Now, Dad, real wank factor. Are you ready for some real wank factor? Because I've got useless gadgets later on anyway.
Okay.
I'm sure I can find some. Ultrasone, who make a lot of really expensive headphones.
Oh.
They have these new headphones called the 2010 Special Edition headphones. 2010. Yeah, they've only made 2010 of them, as you do. They cost a little bit under $3,000.
I'm tempted to do a Graham Kennedy here.
It's not worth saying US dollars anymore, given how much our dollar currently is. It's almost parity.
Pretty close to parity, yes.
These headphones, Dad, have titanium-plated drivers,
wink.
Ethiopian sheepskin padding, silver-plated copper wires with Kevlar coating the actual cables, a wooden headphone holder and case, and this really weird metal on the outside, to the little bits that put together, called ruthenium. Do you know what ruthenium is?
Do I want to?
It's part of the platinum group.
Wink.
So it's pretty wank factor.
I am totally impressed by that.
Yeah, you are totally impressed by that. I thought you would be.
You know that here at the Gadget Grill, we're very strong advocates of data security and of ensuring that you maintain good passwords to help you secure your online presence, right?
Yes, we are.
What would be a good length for a secure password, do you think?
A good what?
A good length for a secure password.
Probably, say, 7 or 8 characters.
How about 50?
I'm not putting a 50-character thing in the... I would be there for, like, 10 minutes.
Oliver,
I don't remember it.
Oliver Drag is 19 years old, and he's been sent... You're going to love this one. He's been sentenced to 4 months' jail for not letting the police know what his 50-character password is on his computer.
Well, that's their own damn fault for not coming up with the goods and being able to hack it up.
Hindering an investigation by withholding a password is an offence under the UK's Regulation of Investigatory powers.
Since when are the UK...
Punishable by jail time.
What? Since when in the UK... they've always been like this, haven't they?
This is to help thwart terrorist activity.
Yes, of course. Passwords help thwart terrorists.
Yeah. In this case, the guy's being investigated by the police in a child sex exploitation investigation. It's been going for 17 months, and in the 17 months, the police have not managed to crack this guy's password.
It's like Kevin Mitnick all over again, isn't it?
I think that's funny.
That's completely ridiculous. Dad, graphing calculators are pretty spiffy. We like graphing calculators.
I believe you.
Yeah, we do. They're useful in maths. There is a new one coming out. It's important for educational people to know about, I guess, or kids and whatnot. It comes... Remember how you got me a graphic calculator? I think it was a Casio 9850G.
It was an HP.
I've never had an HP. I've had TIs and...
Casio.
The first one you got me when I moved to Texas was a Casio. It was color. Well, Casio are going to come with a high-res color screen, 3.7 inches, 16 mega flash memory, USB connectivity, and 140 hours of battery life. Now, just keep in mind...
I would have thought that was called a personal computer these days.
But 130 bucks later on, that's going to come out. I don't know when it'll be out in Australia, but kind of cool, weird, useless. Why don't you just buy a freaking iPhone or an iPad?
On the subject of educational devices... an education. We have one giant step for man. Unfortunately, it was backwards. Who was the first man on the moon?
First man was technically Neil Armstrong.
Would you wouldn't agree that it was maybe Buzz Lightyear?
No, I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be Buzz Lightyear.
How about Lance Armstrong?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not Lance Armstrong. He rides bicycles.
Yeah, I know.
Where is this coming from?
This is in a recent UK survey of 2,000 kids. They were asked about important events in history. 20% of the kids thought that the first man on the moon was Buzz Lightyear.
To infinity, and I'm on the moon now.
Others thought it was Lance Armstrong. A third of them didn't know that Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone.
Who did they think invented the telephone? Some guy named Sony Ericsson. Some guy named Nokia.
This was an episode with somebody on a TV show that they thought.
Really?
On one of these reality shows.
Wow.
Like, I didn't take a note of it. 10%, you'll love this one. Who painted the Mona Lisa?
Da Vinci.
10% of the kids thought it was Rolf Harris.
Wow. And we just turn it upside down? It's upside down.
5% believe that Christopher Columbus discovered...
Okay.
Liposuction.
Dad, what, you said this is the UK or in America?
This is in the UK.
What really troubles me about this is that what are the parents actually like? That really troubles me.
Yeah, I think this explains a lot about the backpackers that we see on Bondi.
Oh, that's now you are going to get us run off the air. Well, I'll go against your story, and
you're going to try and beat that one, right?
I'm a very old person. No, but this one's actually very useful. Dad, have you ever heard of a ban?
A ban, B-A-N.
B-A-N.
As in, you're not allowed to do something.
Nope.
No.
It's how about a body area network?
Oh, yes, I have, yes.
You hear about this?
Yes, yes, yes.
And this is about giving...
It tickles.
What?
It tickles.
No, it's about giving the body its own IP address and allowing your body to be connected to the web and send it information. This is already at the point where it's about to happen. We're about to use things like Android, EKG sensors...
The whole Android area network, there you go. Yeah.
Well, then you got one of those Marvin comments to say there? You know, you got something there for me?
Do you want me to sit in a corner and rust or just fall apart where I'm standing?
That's actually quite fitting, given this whole thing. But seriously, it's going to give people like anyone suffering heart problems or athletes the ability to be monitored by their doctors or the coaches on respective cell phones. It's a pretty interesting thing. You got something else you're doing, aren't you?
Me? God, no.
Yes, you
are. Don't talk to me about life.
That was supposed to be life. They're talking about life, and you got cut off too early.
Yes.
I'm not getting you down at all, am I?
Dad, shut up. stop speaking through Marvin. If you do this any longer, Dad, I just won't want to go out. I just will not want to go out.
Okay.
I don't want to go out.
Yeah, okay, you don't? This is
Narina Pallett with I Don't Want to Go Out.
Jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
It's the Gadget Grill, broadcasting you from lots of places, hopefully, but actually probably just 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, unless you're on the web at www.radio2rdj.com. But in that case, you might be broadcasting from lots of places. Look, I'll just shut up now and let Dad get into the feature, because he's going to talk about taking flight.
Indeed I am. Let's just see what we got here. Yeah, I can see that we have a minor technical
problem, Dad?
Minor technical internet problem at the moment. Ah, there we go. Okay, yes, getting back to what I should be focusing on, which is the show. Yeah, you remember back in Dallas years and years ago, I actually went on a flight and started learning how to fly a plane.
Yes, yes, that was a high point in our lives,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Little Cessna 172, it was a fun thing to do. Well, in Sydney, they have a thing called Flight Experience down at Darling Harbour. And what they have there is a simulator of a Boeing 737.
Okay.
It's not a full motion simulator.
So you mean it doesn't move?
It doesn't move.
So it's not really a simulator?
Well, it is a simulator because they've got a fully equipped 737 flight deck. You have cockpit windows, all of the instrumentation, radio controls, thrust control.
So it's a non-moving flight simulator.
It's a non-moving flight simulator.
Right.
With a graphical display outside the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you go down there and you take flight.
Is it easy?
It is complex.
Did you crash?
I did not crash.
No.
I did not crash.
Does it run Windows?
Pardon?
Does it run Windows?
I doubt that it runs Windows, but I don't know. It was a very, very interesting and fun experience for me.
Hmm.
I went down there. I was introduced to the guy who was basically my flight trainer. And what happens there is that the people who they employ are qualified pilots. The guy that I had is a qualified commercial pilot, and he also is a licensed flight trainer.
And for some reason he's doing this.
And he does this as well. And it counts towards hours in...
Really?
Towards some level of hours, yes. Not entirely.
Not in the same way that, I don't know, the driver's education game I had in Dallas counted towards
this
my...
This was a lot better than the driver's ed game.
Right, okay.
All the controls are all linked up to the display. The controls are all articulated so that as you engage the thrusters and push forward, then everything goes... you pull back on the flight yoke, and the nose of the plane goes up, and you lose sight of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your instruments, and you have to rely on your instruments as you take off and as you land and as you're flying as well to give you some idea of where you are and how everything's going. What we did was we did a flight. I was actually in Hong Kong. You didn't know this, but I spent Wednesday afternoon flying a 737 from New Hong Kong Airport, which you were at recently, to the old Hong Kong Airport.
You were absolutely right, Dad. I didn't know you were there.
Basically, we started off on the ground at Hong Kong at the new airport. Had to turn the plane around onto the runway, engage the throttle. Get the plane rolling on the ground, let it go forward as we rotated, pulled the nose up so that we could then take off and fly. We took it up to about 2,000 feet and then flew around towards, sort of across a bay through the city of Hong Kong and then touched down at the old Hong Kong airport, which in fact doesn't exist anymore. It's closed. But the landing at the old Hong Kong airport, in reality, was quite an exciting experience because it was almost in the city, and you basically, if you weren't careful, you ended up catching people's laundry hanging out on the lines on the wings of the plane.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
So, it was a very, very good experience.
Recommended.
Well, if you're looking for something different as a present for somebody, the person who has everything.
Christmas season coming up
and all. Christmas season coming up and all. This would be something that is very, very worthwhile doing. And they've also got the same sort of experience in a couple of other cities as well around the country. It's actually a New Zealand invention, this.
But it doesn't move.
It doesn't move, and that's an interesting point that you bring up, because I was disappointed when I found out that it wasn't a motion simulator, but to be perfectly honest with you, the graphics and the whole experience is so good, the only time that I noticed that there wasn't any motion was when we actually touched down, because I didn't feel a bump, and I'm reasonably certain that I'm not that good a pilot.
I'm surprised you didn't crash the damn plane, to be honest.
The guy who was with me, the instructor, was very good, and he made sure that we didn't crash. He was, sort of helping cover the stuff that I certainly couldn't cover, because there is a lot to cover. It's quite a complex operation flying a 737. It's a high-performance plane.
Mm.
You've got to focus on getting your wheels down and... slowing down, you've got to program in the right sort of speed for landing approach.
And what interests me is that it's probably using really good software, because if you've got things like the new version of Flight Simulator from Microsoft coming out later this year, I think, or early next year, but you've also got X-Plane. It wasn't X-Plane, was it?
No, this wasn't this was. I don't think it was anything like those pieces of software. The graphics were very good, and of course, this is as I say, connecting up to a full flight deck, so that as you're adjusting, as you're flying, you know, trim wheels are being rotated automatically by the simulator. You know, sort of next to your thrust control, there's a wheel that's spinning around madly that's adjusting.
You can choose any city in the world you want to go to, or
I don't know that you can choose any city. But I imagine it's fairly comprehensive what they have in this, because
you flew from Sydney to Hong Kong in an hour.
I did not fly from Sydney to Hong Kong.
Oh, right.
I flew from Hong Kong to Hong Kong.
Right, okay.
So I started off in Hong Kong.
Excellent. Well, you don't have to go very easy. I asked because things like X-Plane have space shuttles in them, and with that sort of thing you could fly across the universe.
Yes, you probably could.
Yeah.
I guess this is another part of your tribute to Mr. Lennon.
Yes, this would be. This is the Beatles with Across the Universe. You're listening to 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. If you're listening to something else, you're not listening to the Gadget Grill, which is what you're listening to now.
If you're listening to something else, then you're probably rather confused, because if you're listening to something else but you're listening to us, then oh my god,
that's weird.
I'm
not quite sure how to work with that.
I don't think I can.
I'm really confused. Look,
I'm going to pack up and go home.
I need to go home and sleep. I obviously don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Good night, bye. I've got a little tiny review. I've been playing with this over the weekend.
A little tiny review? Is that different from a big tiny review?
It's different from a big huge review.
Okay.
As opposed to a little big planet.
Right.
This is the Canon 60D. This is Canon's next prosumer sort of camera.
Okay. It's a DSLR.
It's a DSLR. This one is it's a movement up from, I guess, the 50D, which was pretty successful for Canon.
Yep.
This is the 60D, and they've taken some things, like they've gone and removed the compact flash card, and they've replaced it with an SD slot.
Okay, so they're going to the smaller memory size, which is...
So this camera specifically, the 7D and the 5D Mark II, still have compact flash.
Yep.
Okay. From
That's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. I don't... Hold a second. I actually don't know the megapixel value off the top of my head. I think it's around...
16?
16 megapixel.
I think it's 16, yeah.
It shoots 1080p videos, has a viewable angle screen, which means... It can pop out from the back and change into different directions.
It's okay, cool. So that's something that I had on the Coolpix 5700 12 years ago.
Look, a digital SLR is a very different format, okay?
I just thought I'd say that. I know. But there's no reason why it couldn't have been put on a DSLR 10 years ago.
Well, there are reasons. There are lots of reasons, but we won't get into that now. it's a really well-built camera. It feels great in the hand. I'll hand it over to you. And it includes your favorite mode, Dad, tilt-shift mode. Actually just called miniature mode.
Yeah.
But in general, it doesn't feel too bad. Shut up, Dad. It's got a lot of automatic modes. It's very easy to use.
I don't like the focus ring.
No, that's the lens.
Very
that's
small.
The lens.
I know.
That's the lens.
I know.
I think that's a 15 to 85 or
15 to 85 ISO.
Yeah, I don't like the lens much either, actually. I found that on this demo mode. I actually found it's very fast camera. It's actually got pretty good ergonomics. You're going to take a few pictures of the microphone, aren't you?
Take a picture of the microphone.
Go on, Dad. Take a picture of the microphone. There you go.
That's
nice.
Picture
of the microphone.
So if I do it this way, this is good, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Wonderful.
Excellent,
yeah.
Dad.
And if I do it this way.
Dad, what are you doing?
Oh, look at that. Yeah, we'll post those up on the website, mate. Yeah, look at that. That's brilliant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You like that?
I do. Look at that.
Dad, sometimes I worry about you.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to post that one on the...
Okay, fine. That's from a viewer's point of view. You can even see you in the background. I was going to say that... it's actually not bad. I actually am quite surprised by it, and I'm, as a Nikon user, that... it takes a lot of say. No, but what I don't like about it is one of the things they've done to the menu. The menu is still stay the same, and it's what I've always thought has been the downside of Canon design.
Is there a surcharge for weekends on the menu?
Shut up, Dad.
Sorry.
And one of the things I'm going to show you live, Dad, because you haven't seen this yet. what they're allowing people to do now is creative filtration.
Okay.
So the idea to take an image and do inbuilt raw processing, so you or inbuilt JPEG processing, to do things like images and into black and white and sepia.
Okay,
and Now, on a lot of other cameras, Nikon, Sony, a lot of
You take the photo, you choose it, you say, I want this effect, and it gives you a copy of the photo with the effect applied.
Correct. Now, if I hit play, which is how they do it here, I have nothing I can do here. I hit select, nothing happens. I hit info, nothing happens. For me to do this, I have to go to creative filters, then select the one. I can go back and forth through them.
Okay.
And then I hit enter for it. I choose the one I want. It doesn't actually show me how it looks. So let me just choose grainy black and white. Then I choose from there. I hit enter. And I choose the model I want out of it, so different levels.
Right.
And then I go to OK. And say I want to do it again. That's all the steps for that. That was a bit
ridiculous. That's pretty complex.
It is. And if I want to do it again, for instance, if I go to menu to try and do it again, creative filters, it won't load that last image. I can choose it, but it won't load it as a matter of course. So
the one that you've done the effect on?
No, it doesn't load it by course. You actually have to go back into it. It loads the last shot image.
And that doesn't sound too bad to me, because that's a different sort of an image.
Oh, you should.
But I do see your point.
Yeah. So now I can do that sort of thing to it, and I can change the filter. I find that the creative mode is actually kind of cool, but it seems harder to use than a creative mode should be.
Right. Would you have that at your table?
I don't mind it, actually. I was using it to shoot some videos this weekend, and I liked it a lot. I don't actually know, because I want to see what the new Nikon ones are out this week.
Right.
Like the D7000, the D3100.
But would you have this at your table?
Right now, probably. Yeah, it's not bad. I like the Canon 60D is not bad at all.
This is Matthew Santos with Trombone Shorty
at my table. Radio 2IDJ, this is The Gadget Grill. The final bits and pieces of The Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark. That's him over there, that's Gary.
I'm the good-looking one.
Really?
No.
Does that mean I'm the mediocre-looking one?
No, you're the better-looking one.
I'm the better-looking one.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Better.
I'm the one without the grey hair.
I got grey hair. Mine's a birthmark, remember?
I know. I'm the one without the grey hair.
Yeah, right. Okay, yours is just white. Yours is just plain white.
Bald.
No, you got white hair in your beard.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
November coming up, Dad. You can have white
full. What have you got for us in the way of a useless gadget or something?
I don't have a whole lot. How about this for you? I didn't tell you about this before. Dad, you know how the spork is one of the most impressive and most important cutlery pieces?
I came to a spork in the road one day.
Yeah, how about a titanium spork? It's made from super strong titanium.
Why?
It can be used by Darth Vader with the cookie jar from last week.
Oh, dear.
It's a titanium spork. It's like $9. Wouldn't you have a titanium spork if you could?
Yes, I would.
You know, you could. Can't you just imagine a titanium spork?
Yes, I can.
You can imagine one. Absolutely imagine a titanium spork.
I can imagine one, yes.
If not, how about some caffeinated marshmallows?
Caffeinated marshmallows?
Why not? You know, if you need something to stay up during those long, evil nights when someone is doing one of those horror stories over the campfire, a caffeinated marshmallow.
Okay, yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Caffeinated marshmallow.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
It does.
I'm sure it does.
It does. It makes loads of sense. Yes. Well, it certainly made the company who made it loads of sense.
I'm not so sure about that.
You're not sure about anything. What have you got?
I've got something that's a little bit interesting and a little bit different.
What isn't different that we do?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But they've discovered a flute concerto written by Vivaldi in the early 1730s has been discovered in the National Archives in Scotland.
That is weird.
Yeah, yeah. It's not been performed since the 1700s. The manuscripts vanished shortly after Vivaldi passed away in 1741. Andrew Woolley, a research fellow at Southampton University, had his curiosity aroused when he noticed this in the Archives Online catalogue. He investigated the work's provenance, found a reference to the work with it being listed in the sale catalogue of an 18th century Dutch bookseller.
Hmm.
And earlier this week, an excerpt from the concerto was played in the National Archives building in Edinburgh by Scottish flautist John Hall.
Interesting.
That's what I thought, too. Just something a little bit different for us to... to finish the show off with.
Here's something even, well, it makes sense given the show coming up after us is Colin Richardson with Classical. But you know what? Here's something else that's different, Dad. How about some perky jerky?
Some what?
It's beef jerky flavored with guarana.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's got 150 milli... I'll shut up now. Just end the show. Just end the show while I get all my buzz. This is Beatle Jazz with Imagine.
Okay, you want me to end the show,
I want
you
to end the show. Is it so hard?
Oh, damn it. Damn it, I hate it when that happens.
What happens?
I just lost my internet connection on the iPad.
You don't like you need an internet connection to end the show.
No, but I was doing something at the time. I was editing a document.
Aww.
Oh, well, let me... Yeah.
Dad, end the show. Okay. Show is more important than document.
Okay, yeah. What do we got? Yes, you have been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the internet.
Editing a document, in which case you probably have been paying attention to working on the show.
Yes.
Why do I even pay you?
On the internet,
www.radio2rdj.com. Do I pay you?
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to double your pay for the show this week.
Well, I make a whole total of double what I make. Yeah.
Yes.
In case you're listening, kids, double of zero still is zero.
Yes. At The Gadget Grill, we believe the technology should be fun. And we hope that comes through with all the nonsense that we babble on about every week.
I'm glad you added that stipulation in this week, because I was getting worried about what this show really was about.
Yeah, well, I've been wondering about it for a while myself.
That's why you added it in.
That is why, yes. We'll be back next Sunday night with more gadgets, grills, and nonsense.
Hooray for nonsense! Yeah! Seriously, I
And
like
if you're
that.
Not having fun, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah, unless you are doing it right, then you're not having fun, then you're just not having fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My name is Gary Stark. I will see you next Sunday night at 9 on The Gadget Grill. His name is...
Lee Stark.
And he will also see you next Sunday night at 9 o'clock
I mean, you'll hear from
on
me.
The Gadget Grill.
You'll hear from me, and this is Beatle Jazz with Imagine. See ya!